Good to be with you this morning, starting in this exciting new series on the extraordinary and wonderful and gripping story of Ruth from the Old Testament. And that we're starting today on chapter 1, and that can be found on page 267, page 267 of our church Bibles. Page 267, Ruth chapter 1. But before I start to read and then to preach, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Ruth, and we pray that in the next 5 weeks, not only will we learn many things about you and ourselves, but that we will be able to put it into practice. May we apply our hearts to your instruction and our ears to your words of knowledge, and grant us your Holy Spirit as we listen. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, page 267. In the days when the judges judged, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. And she said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara,
because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. This is to the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In suffering and tragedy, how do you react? In bereavement, how do you react? Do you put your trust in God, or do you get bitter? We have had a great tragedy this last week in Haiti, with tens of thousands, no, indeed, hundreds of thousands of people dying because of the terrible earthquake. And our prayers go out to them that God might comfort them in their suffering. And yet, of course, tragedy and death and suffering are very personal things. And this morning, we have the reaction of one family to suffering and to tragedy in Ruth chapter 1. But before we start, let me just say a few words about Old Testament stories, Old Testament narratives. You see, Old Testament stories and Old Testament narratives, they're not like the letters of Paul, where we can simply apply the injunctions of Paul to our own lives. No, narrative and story is much more subtle. The application for you and for me is much more implicit. What it means for us is that we should involve ourselves, get caught up in the story of Ruth and of Naomi, and see how that touches and affects our own lives. Above all, we must remember that in Old Testament narrative, the real hero of the story is God. These are not simple morality tales like do as Naomi does or do as Ruth does. No, we're meant to see God behind the whole story. So this morning and in the weeks to come, I want to simply take you through the story of Ruth and allow the story to have an impact on your lives. Here we have a great drama. And this morning we have chapter 1, the first act of this drama. And I've divided it into scenes to help us see what it is all about. So let's start. Scene 1, the setting for the tragedy. Scene 1, the setting for the tragedy. Famine in Bethlehem. Have a look at verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled. Now, the period of the judges, you will remember from your own reading of the book of Judges, was a period of disaster and catastrophe for the people of God. It was a period of chaos, of sin, of judgment, and God's unremitting mercy as well. And in that period of the judges, well, there was a famine in the land. Now, we learn from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 that natural disasters, or at least some natural disasters, are the response of God to some sin within the people of God, leading to the natural disaster as an act of judgment. And then the people cry out in mercy, and the famine ends. And yet there's no note here in Ruth that this family, at the very least, cried out to God for anything. Rather, it's this family from Bethlehem, which means house of bread, decided to go for a little while to a place where they could find bread. There was no bread in the house of bread. And so they go along to the country of Moab. Moab, as we saw from that first reading, was a nearby country, but a country of utter paganism, opposed to Israel, and indeed in Israel's journey out of Egypt to the promised land, they were great enemies. So they move from that to literally the fields of Moab, because they wanted, well, bread. And yet, the Old Testament tells us, you must not move from the land that God has given you. And this family, understandably, after all, how are they supposed to feed themselves? Moved out of the promised land into a pagan nearby land, the fields of Moab. But once they got there, they stayed there, well, over 10 years. It seems it became a permanent home. It's rather as if for us, a family, say, in the Second World War decided because of the conditions in this country to move to Nazi Germany. It's an odd move, despite the pain in Bethlehem itself. And I guess many of us, because of our trials, our sufferings, our tragedies, have well thought, perhaps for a time, I'll just move out of church. I'll take a rain check from church. I'll rest from Christ. Move away from the promised land. But what happens to this family? Well, to move away from the land that God has given actually courts disaster. And that's the second scene. Scene two, the nature of the tragedy, death and bereavement. Scene two, the nature of the tragedy, death and bereavement. Verses 3-5. Now, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies suddenly in the land of Moab. They escape famine, but they walk into the clutches of death. It doesn't really work, does it? But the sons there marry Moabite women. Now, the word in the actual Hebrew is not the normal word for marriage. It suggests an illegitimate marriage, i.e., in the eyes of God, this was actually wrong. They were marrying unbelievers. They were marrying Moabite women. And the result? Well, the text says they had no children, barrenness, and ultimately the death of the sons themselves. Both Mahlon and Chilion died. And literally the wife or the woman was left without her sons and husband. She'd lost everything. She'd lost everything. And in those days, there was no pension, there was no social security to keep you going. This woman was wiped out. She'd lost her identity. She'd lost all hope whatsoever. How was she going to cope? There was no money. There was no food. A terrible, awful tragedy. And that, I guess, well, is what ultimately happens. We lose our identity, don't we? When we move away from the bread of life, who is, in New Testament terms, Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we'll be celebrating the bread of life in the bread of the Lord's Supper. To join, it seems, to the world and to marry unbelievers is to court disaster and the judgment of God himself. We might think we find bread in the world, joy, happiness, identity, significance, but to move away from the bread of life and his body, the church, is to court disaster. And yet, that is not the end of the story for Naomi and her daughters-in-law. There's more. Scene three, the response to the tragedy. The response to the tragedy. The return to Bethlehem. The return to Bethlehem. And this scene is at the heart of the act. Verses 6-18. Now, have a look at verse 6. And the word order is actually different from the NIV. It actually reads, the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing bread for them. And when she heard, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home. The Lord is now providing bread. And so they pack their bags in Moab and decide to go home to Bethlehem. And yet, as they're preparing to leave, or perhaps in the first few miles of the journey back, Naomi realizes that, well, the prospects for her aren't very great if her daughters-in-law come. And you can understand that, can't you? After all, what prospect would foreigners have to find Jewish husbands back home in Bethlehem? And if there are no husbands, well, that in Old Testament terms means no family, no sons, nothing. It's not a very good deal. And Naomi wants to convince her daughters-in-law, it's not a good deal sticking with me. I'm bad. I'll bring disaster. Look what happened to my husband. Look what happened to your husbands. You can't stick with me, she says. But she does it by suggesting that maybe God, the Lord of Israel, will show them kindness. Verse 8. Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord show kindness. Now, that word is actually one of the most important words in the Bible. It is, in the Hebrew, hesed. And hesed is a wonderful word that comes hundreds, no, even thousands times in the Old Testament. And it means something like love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, and loyalty. All those connotations are wrapped up in that little word, hesed. May the Lord show you this hesed. Just as you have been loyal and kind and gracious and loving and merciful to me and my sons, may the Lord bless you. But go back. And after a little while, Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, agrees. And the text doesn't criticize her at all for that decision. And yet, extraordinarily, the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, insists, I will not leave you, Naomi. It's one of the most beautiful, poetic, and wonderful statements of loyalty and love in the entire Bible. And this is what she says. Don't urge me, verse 16, to leave you or to turn back to you. Quite extraordinary, isn't it? A Moabite pagan woman. Her sister-in-law has already returned, and yet this one says, no, I'm not going to do that. Where you go, Naomi, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. It doesn't matter to the ends of the earth. Doesn't matter in a foreign country. I'm going, coming with you. And at the heart of this, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. I forsake my old loyalty and allegiances to my family and my country and my gods. I'm going to come to your country. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die and there be buried. Yes, death may separate us, but even in death, I want to be with you, my mother-in-law. And may the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. Now that's an oath. Actually, it's saying something. May the God of Israel obliterate me, wipe me out, crush and destroy me if I do not keep this oath. And actually, the Hebrew says, when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped talking. Nothing she could say. Astounding, isn't it? How can we account for such an extraordinary turn of allegiance and loyalty? Well, surely in New Testament terms, it's the wonder of the new birth, born again of the Holy Spirit. That. God's grace is what's going on in this pagan woman. I was just reading a couple of days ago about Masai Yusuf, a Hamas leader's son, a radical fundamentalist Muslim, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody witnessed to him. How do we account for that? A radical Muslim, indeed, connected and associated by his own admission with a terrorist movement. His life so changed that he comes to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's grace, isn't it? It's hesed. It's the hesed of Christ. And that's what makes Passion for Life, this march, so worthwhile. How, who knows what the Lord and his hesed will do? And so, this poor woman and her daughter-in-law, bereaved and shattered, go back to their hometown, Bethlehem. Once more, the house of bread. Scene 4, the last scene. The interpretation of the tragedy. The interpretation of the tragedy. The Lord is responsible. The Lord is responsible. Verse 19 to 21. So they get to Bethlehem. And no doubt when they arrive, well, Naomi's old friends and neighbors and perhaps wider family, they see her. The whole town was stirred, or literally buzzed. There was a buzz. She's back. Is that really her? Well, she doesn't look very good. She looks a bit skinny and pulled down and shattered. Is it really you? Can this really be Naomi? And she says, yeah, it's me, but it's not me. Verse 20, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet. She called them, call me Mara, which means bitter. Why? Because the Almighty, the God who provides and judges, has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, has brought me back empty. Empty. Why call me sweet? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has crushed me with misfortune, she maintains. Well, is she right? Is Naomi right? Has the Lord actually crushed her? Did she go away full and come back empty? Is God responsible for your suffering, for your tragedies? The answer is actually yes and no. Yes, in the sense that Naomi suffers terribly. She's lost her husband, she's lost her sons, she's lost everything. And we must never deny our emotional hurt and pain. And yes, in one sense, Naomi did go away full. She had her whole family and she came back empty. She'd lost her husband and two sons. But on the other hand, she actually went away empty. There was no bread in Bethlehem. And she's come back, well, not with her husband and sons, but she has come back with Ruth, the extraordinary loyal Ruth. So maybe a bit of both. She's both right and she's wrong. But on the larger question, is Naomi right that the Lord God is responsible for her pain and her suffering? Well, in one sense, again, it's yes and no. Naomi, perhaps unlike many of us, knows that God is the ultimate cause of all things. He is sovereign. He is the Almighty One. But actually also, no. Naomi suffered, but Ruth also suffered. And Ruth, a pagan girl, shows remarkable loyalty and faith in the Lord God. You see, Naomi is right that God is sovereign, but wrong because she's forgotten the love of God. She's forgotten the Lord's hesed. She's forgotten that God is sovereign, yes, but she's forgotten grace. She knows his almighty power, but she's forgotten compassion. She knows his omnipotence, but she's forgotten his mercy. And so how do you respond to your suffering and tragedies? Do you see God's almighty hand in it? Do you trust in his sovereign care? Or do you actually feel empty and bitter? Well, William Cooper put it very memorably, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." So the first act of this great drama leaves us with a question. What will become of this Naomi and Ruth in Bethlehem? Will Naomi ever be filled to her content? Well, come back next week to find out more from the second act. But let's wrap up now. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform, his goals to achieve. But it leaves us with questions. In tragedy and in suffering, are you like bitter Naomi or loyal Ruth? In tragedy and suffering, do you see the forces of nature at work or the sovereignty of God at work? Above all, in tragedy and suffering, do you recognize God's affliction or God's affection? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of ordinary lives and ordinary people. And we too have ordinary lives and are ordinary people. And sometimes we feel very empty. We feel very bitter. But we thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.